concerning the issue of representation. Well, I won't go into the content of the letter, but I think the letter would have also been sent to members. But in addition to that, we also received a correspondence from Advocate Mokoedi requesting to make a further representation to the committee. We have a Siviwe from Legal Services who probably you'll take us through the two correspondences. And thereafter, honorable members will then look into some of the issues around this process and what we've received, and then go into deliberation on the matter. The intention is that we deliberate on the matter today, and that tomorrow we'll give our team some time to put the report together, and then tomorrow we will then deal with the adoption of the report. Let me hand over then to Sivile Njikela, who can perhaps take us through in terms of the two correspondences that we received, one from Advocate Jiva, the other from Advocate Mokoedi.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good day to members. Chair, in our last engagement, I think we spoke to each other with regard to the judgment in the Jiva application. Since we briefed you on that outcome, we have now had two developments in the matter, as the chairperson has indicated. One is the letter that was received in response to the request by the committee for Advocate Jiva to make representation to the committee. The second one is the letter that was received by Mkhwebi, which was an unsolicited correspondence. In response to the letter by the committee to Advocate Jiva to make representations with regard to the reasons why he should be restored as a member of the NPA, we received a letter from his legal representatives, Mr. Majabu, to which it was attached correspondence from Advocate Jiva herself. If we go to the letter of Advocate Jiva, she is in essence, Chair, saying she has had a meeting with her family and they have together come to a conclusion that it's time for her to move on, and therefore she is no longer interested in restoration to her position within the NPA. And therefore, for that reason, she has declined to make any representation to the committee for her restoration. And Chair, I think that is the essence of her letter. Then she goes on to state what her views are in terms of what the process has been. She is quite grateful to Parliament as an institution for how it has conducted itself in dealing with this matter. And she asserts her position that she believes that she has rendered her service to the country admirably, despite what is being said in the report by the Mokoro Commission. But the long and short of it, Chair, is that she is declining to make any representation. She is no longer interested in serving in the NPA. She has moved on. That is the long and short, Chair, with regard to that letter. While we were still mulling over that, Chair, we received another letter now from Advocate Mkhwebi. You will remember, Chair, that Advocate Mkhwebi had already made representations to both the committees in respect of the reasons why he believes that he should be restored by the committee. But after the judgment was delivered in the Jiva application, he wrote a letter on the 31st to the committee or to Parliament, wherein he says he requests an opportunity to address Parliament in respect of how the President may or may not have violated an order of the court in the Freedom Under Law versus NPA or National Director of Public Prosecution judgment. Now, the committee will recall that Freedom Under Law had gone to court to force the president to institute an inquiry into the fitness of Advocate Jiva and Advocate Mokgoebe. And in that application, they succeeded. And the court directed the president to institute the inquiry. But because there was an appeal against the general counsel of the bar, which was another application about their fitness to serve as advocates of the High Court, the court suspended its direction to the president to institute the inquiry, pending the appeal in the General Council of the Bar Appeal, which at that time, I think it was going to the Supreme Court of Appeal. So for that reason, the court directed the president to institute the inquiry, but suspended the implementation of that order, because there was still a pending appeal by Jiva and Mokgoebe to the Supreme Court of Appeal. Now, came in the new president, and he decided that he's going to institute an inquiry. He suspended Advocate Jiva and Mokgoebe. He instituted the Mokgoro inquiry, and the inquiry finalized its work, and we know the rest of what happened. So Advocate Mokgoebe feels that the president was not entitled to institute the inquiry while the appeal was still pending before the Supreme Court of Appeal, because at that time it was going to the Supreme Court of Appeal, which issued a judgment. Then it went further to the Constitutional Court. So at the time that this inquiry was instituted, that matter was still pending between the Supreme Court of Appeal and the Constitutional Court. Now we know that the Constitutional Court has finally given a judgment. But I think the issue for Advocate Mokgoebe was that the President was precluded by that order in the Freedom Under Law from instituting this inquiry, and therefore this inquiry was unlawful. And he will want an opportunity to bring his counsel before Parliament to address Parliament on this specific issue. I think, Chair, what needs to be said was that this issue was raised by Advocate Jiva in the application before the High Court. And the Presidency, in their answering affidavit, dealt with the matter. And this is how they dealt with it. Firstly, the President says, the order of the court that they are referring to only suspended the implementation of that court order. But in instituting the inquiry, he was not implementing that order. He was exercising his statutory powers in terms of the NPA Act. So therefore, his conduct, in as far as he instituted the inquiry, was not in violation of that court order. The court, of course, did not make any specific ruling on the issue, because it felt at the time that the matter belongs to Part B of the application, not to Part A. We'll remember Part A only related to the parliamentary process being stopped while she is pursuing Part B. So the court took a view that that issue goes into the merits of her application in Part B, and therefore it is not in a position to do so in Part A. So that matter now is pending for Part B. There has been a recent development which was just brought to our attention while we were sitting here, that Part B is not going to proceed anymore. Advocate Jiva has filed a notice of withdrawal with the Western Cape High Court, which basically means there is no opportunity for Part B to be ventilated, because Advocate Jiva, as she indicated in her letter, she is no longer interested in it. So it means there will never be an opportunity for Part B to be determined and this issue to be ruled on by the court. So this entire litigation now is off the table. And like we said previously, Chair, there is no impediment whatsoever on the part of the committee to determine this issue as required by the NPA Act. I think, Chair, I will end there. Maybe before I end there, I think there are two issues perhaps that the committee may want to consider. One, the letter by Advocate Mukwedi, like we indicated initially, was unsolicited. It was submitted to Parliament outside the time frames after he had already made representation. So it will appear that the committee has to make a decision as to how it deals with this letter. And that's the first issue. The second issue is that I understand the letter was distributed to all members of the committee, so members are aware of the issue, and we have previously dealt with the issue in the JIBA application. So regardless of the decision that the committee takes, the matter is known and has been dealt with in court, and the judge has made some kind of a ruling on how it should be dealt with. So I think those are the two issues that the committee in respect of Advocate Mukwedi has to consider. In respect of Mr. Majavu and Advocate Jiba, regardless of the fact that she has decided that she does not want restoration, Parliament still has to make a decision which must go to the House. So the committee can consider the letter and make its own decision, and the House will have to pass the resolution as required by the law, regardless of her views that she no longer wants it. I think the Act makes it clear that we must make a decision. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, members, we've received that presentation. I think in terms of Advocate Jiba, it's clear that as a committee we should continue to consider her issue in terms of whether she should be restored or not. But it's up for discussion. Members, if you have a view on that. And then on the issue of Mukwedi, we need to consider how we deal with his representation, which also came out part of the time frame that was allocated to him. Our members, it's open for discussion. Anyone want to have a bite on this one? Honorable Deirdre? Honorable Nita? Okay, can you may start, Honorable Deirdre, and then Deirdre.
Thanks, Chair. Now that, I just want to be clarified, now that Jibaye, she has withdrawn, is there any need of the process that was supposed to be for us to make it, or we, I remember at first it was a matter of that she was pushing for representation, which we said, no, it would look like we are starting the whole case, because it was based on the judgment, or the president based this matter on the basis of the judgment that was there. I'm trying to find out now the process of Parliament. Can we just convene the meeting and endorse that letter, and the matter, can it be closed in that way? Or is it still going to require any other process besides that? I just want to be clarified on the process. Since now she has withdrawn, and there were two, and Mukwedi, we will deal with the Mukwedi aside, or whether it affects also Mukwedi, this withdrawal of Jiba.
I'm sure the legal advisor will pardon us if we've missed some of his presentation. Because in my view, the matter that we are supposed to deal with now, first, it's a Jiba case, which Jiba has said now is no longer having an interest. And there was a process followed by the president. I wanted to check before, Chair, we take a decision set on Jiba issue. I came here with a question that is premised from section 2 of the Constitution, the whole issue of Bill of Rights, which is a cornerstone of our our democracy in South Africa. So what I wanted to know, the processes followed, Chair, which have partly outlined them, especially Section 23 of the Bill of Rights, which talks more about fairness on the process. If you could satisfy me on that one, although there are some areas that you've touched on, but be more emphatic on the fairness of the process. And two, on the issue of Mkhweli, Chair, I have been saying the letter that is written, it was outside the legal procedure, letting of a better way to put it, Chair. And if so, I thought as the committee, we should just note that there was a letter, but the letter is outside the legal processes that are supposed to be followed. So we also confirm the position of the committee.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I've always expressed a view that it is in the best interest of our nation that these two matters are finalized so that we work towards a process where there is stability within our criminal justice system. Now that we are here, I'm making the following points. Firstly, with regard to Mkhweli, that around July or so, after we received the report of the President on how this matter was dealt with, we afforded him an opportunity to make a representation to Parliament why we should agree or not agree with the decision of the President. And that process was unfolded where we afforded them the opportunity, and Mkhweli did respond to us and gave us his own personal view about the matter. Now later, on the 31st of October, outside the prescription, he comes and says, I want to address Parliament. My view is that I think it is unfair to Parliament that Mr. Mkhweli is behaving the way that he's behaving. And my view is that we must note this letter dated the 31st of October and not agree to give him further and more representation in the form of addressing us on this particular matter. We should then respond and say, we noted this, we don't agree, we think that we must proceed in the way that we are proceeding. It's okay, because as you know, the principles of natural justice and what is called audi alteram partem rule requires that you must afford him the opportunity, and I think sufficiently, with all intents and purposes, sufficiently, we have done so, and this suffices. It's okay with regard to Mkhweli. Now, on the matter of Jiba, notwithstanding the fact that she sent letters indicating and no more appetite to continue this matter, still as Parliament we are required to make a decision on this particular matter, and this is what we need to do. And let me share with you what I think is my view. Firstly, I agree with the process that the President followed in dealing with this matter, both in terms of suspending the directors of NPA, but secondly, in instituting an investigation led by Justice Mukhoa on this particular matter. I think the president followed the law in a way that is appropriate. But importantly, that after this process, the president reported to Parliament in line with, I think, it's Section 12 of the Act, to report to Parliament, and Parliament accordingly has expedited the process, notwithstanding the fact that we had to delay because of the court actions. And in my view, I think Parliament has acted accordingly. We have received this particular report. We have given them an opportunity to make representation, and we are at a point where we need to finalize. And my view is that in this respect, we must agree with the President that the process was fair, it was okay, and his decision is justifiable in reason and in law. That's how I want us to proceed forward. But lastly, in terms of how we must proceed forward, my view is that, let me just note that particular point. My view is that there are good grounds, given what was presented before us. There are good grounds, there are good justifiable reasons for the president to have acted in the way that he did. And based on that, I want us to move that we endorse the decision of the president in this particular matter. Thank you.
Honourable Mola, Honourable Zikova, I think you've gone way ahead of us, but
I'm sorry.
I think we're going to catch you up. Yeah, we will catch you up. But Honourable Mola.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine to the legal advisor. I want to know that was this Section 12, 6A and B in Section 14.3 of the Act, was it followed by the President when he was taking decision? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, maybe it's anyway. Maybe you could just respond to some of the questions that were raised around JIBA, especially in terms of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And then there was a question raised on Kesoza. So perhaps if you could respond to some of the questions that were raised. I think the Duru has moved ahead of us, but like I said, we will catch him up. Over to you, Sidiwe.
Thank you, Chair.
My apologies for just the interruption, because there was just one thing I wanted to perhaps raise from my side around Mugwebi's issue outside of the time that he was allocated, but also the content of his issue, because in terms of this process, he's had ample opportunity to raise his objections in the process, and he could have also taken the president's decision on review for that matter, and I think in terms of his his request for additional representation, I think I agree with the Dogo to some extent, because he is also trying to put us in a difficult position. But over to you, Sibu.
Thank you very much. On the issue of the withdrawal I don't think withdrawal is the right word. On the issue of Advocate Jiba having decided not to seek restoration, she has made a personal decision. But I think Parliament still has a responsibility to look at the totality of the documentation that has been put before them and make a decision regardless of what you say, because the decision was never hers to make. It was for Parliament to decide whether there are any grounds for restoration. So I don't think it makes a difference in as far as what Parliament must do. It may have made your life a little bit easier, but a resolution still has to be made. On the question of fairness, and I think I should repeat what I was saying, that the fact that she may have made a decision that she is no longer interested does not absolve the committee of considering the totality of the evidence that is before it. Regardless of her not making representation, we know she has already made representation to the president. Nothing prevents the committee from considering the recommendation, the representation she had made to the president on why the president should not implement the recommendation. That is the evidence that is already before the committee. So the committee can have regard to that. As to whether you can restore to office somebody who has clearly told you that I no longer want to be part of NPA, that is a bit of a tricky part. Because even if you were to make a decision to restore her, she clearly does not want to be in that space anymore. But that is for the deliberations of the committee to determine that. So I'm saying to Honorable Nita that if the committee considers all of those issues and the report of the Mokoro inquiry, that will satisfy the requirement of fairness as required in Section 23, which you referred to. So I think it is inherent in Section 23 that all you have to do, you have to apply yourself to the information that is before you and make a decision that is rational in terms of that. So I think that should satisfy the requirement of fairness. On the matter of Mkhwebi and his letter, which was out of the time that was allocated to him, he has made very substantive representations. I don't know how many pages of it he made in July. There is only one issue that he's raising in the letter, that is, which appears to be a new matter, is the issue of whether the president violated a court order or not. So that's why I said the first decision that the committee has to make is what to do with this letter. Whether you decide not to do anything about it, the point is you have had regard to the content of the letter. So there is nothing wrong with the committee saying we have taken note of the unsolicited further representation, we have considered its content. In our view, it does not make a difference, in the sense that we believe the processes that the president had followed are correct. And that is a consideration on its own. But as to whether that persuades you one way or the other, because the content of what is being put before you is a matter which seeks to basically review the manner in which the president proceeded. Now, the chairperson indicated that since this matter was finalized, they have had an opportunity to interdict the president based on what they believe is a judgment that prevents the president from doing what he has done. That was never exercised. They had an opportunity to review the outcomes of Mokoro Commission, which was not done, even up to this point. So those are the issues that the committee should consider in making a decision. But I do not think that the committee should just ignore the letter. It is before you. It must be considered, and the decision must be made based on its contents and the merits of what it says. It was unsolicited. He knows it. But I think there is a second decision that we may need to make as a committee on the issue of legal representation. There is established practice in Parliament that we do not allow legal representatives to come and address committees. You are entitled to receive legal assistance, but we still want the individual, because the lawyer is not accountable to the committee. It is the individual. As a deputy national director, or as a special director, it is you who is accountable to Parliament as an institution, not a lawyer appearing on your behalf. I don't know of any instance where a lawyer was actually allowed to address a committee. He can receive all his assistance. If he wants to take advice, the committee can adjourn for 5 minutes. He goes and consults with his lawyer. and he comes back and he addresses the committee. But I'm not aware of any instance where a lawyer, as if it's a court of law, comes and addresses the committee. Mm. So I think those are the two decisions in respect of that that have to be made. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, I think all members have already started discussing the issue of Mukwege's letter. And I think it has already somehow been said that we take note of the letter, but we should not consider his request for additional representation. And perhaps if there's support for that, we should leave it at that. So,
Chair, I'm sorry, we happen to have found ourselves in two meetings that are sitting and we see the time. I don't know if there is anything that the committee will require from us, and if nothing, Chair, we will request that we be excused so that we can join the Justice Committee.
Thank you from the legal team. I think we've come to the end of your presentation because I think, as you've also said, we need to move forward and consider the issues and deliberate and consider them and take the process forward. Thank you, Andrew. So, members, can we close on the Mukwege letter? On the issue of Jiba, obviously we perhaps I should just go into Okay, our members, I think perhaps we should look at our committee mandate in terms of this process. And clearly our mandate is confined to Section 1260 and D of the Act, which is to make a recommendation to the NCOP in our case on whether or not to restore a national director, a deputy national director, or special director to office. This is in terms of Section 1260 of the NPA Act. And it is with the understanding that the Act envisages two distinct processes, namely the removal by the President and then proceeding to consider restoration to office. Okay, the committee's mandate is not to remove, but our mandate is to restore or not. I think we must be very clear about what our mandate is in terms of this process. But we should also take note of the court judgment in the latest case between Jiba and the President, where Henny J writes that the wording of the Act is clear. Parliament's function is not to remove but to restore. Parliament plays no role in the removal of the NDPP or the DNDP. Parliament acts independently in terms of its oversight function of the President in terms of Section 35(2)(2)(b) of the Constitution when it considers whether to restore the NDPP or the DNDPP in terms of subsection 6(c) or D. So the committee's role in considering whether or not to restore requires that it exercises oversight over the President's decision generally in terms of Section 55 of the Constitution and explicitly in terms of Section 1260 and D of the Act to give effect to protect the independence of the NPA. Now, honourable members, I think as our legal team has already been trying to guide us, but also they've indicated that it is for us as a committee to arrive to a decision. And I'm just proposing that perhaps we also need to be doing this systematically. And I'm suggesting some kind of guidelines, and it's not prescriptive, and members can add as well to these guidelines. But my proposal would be let's have a discussion around it, and then if there's any other guideline that you would want us to also consider, perhaps we can include that. But in essence, this should allow us to deliberate in a systematic way in terms of the matter at hand. And our members, it's obviously with the assumption that this matter has been with us for quite a long time, and all relevant documentation, be it documents that inform the decision of the president, as well as all representations, as well as further correspondences from both Azakajiba and Mugwebi, have been made available to all committee members for you to peruse, internalize, and for you to be able to come to some kind of determination in terms of this process. I'm proposing that we look into three areas. Okay, the one is whether the president complied with the requirements of Section 12, 6A and B of the Act. And I think that's why I said Honorable Dizzle got well ahead of us. But in essence, I'm proposing that as one area of consideration. The second area was the process leading up to the president's decision fair to Advocate Jiba and Advocate Mugwebi? And the third aspect was the president's decision to remove based on good reasons? Okay. So I'm proposing that as a committee, we try and deal with this matter systematically, and like I said, as we discussed, and as we might come to the end of that discussion, it's also open for any other areas that we might want to consider the committee. So, honourable members, I'm going to open the first issue, being whether the president complied with the requirements of Section 12(6)A and B of the Act. Obviously, if you recall, Section 12(6)A and B and Section 14(3) because of the DNDPP. Of the Act, it specifies the process that the President must follow in reaching a decision to remove a National Director or a Deputy National Director and a Special Director. So, in terms of A, the President may provisionally suspend the National Director or a Deputy National Director from his or her office pending such inquiry into his or her fitness to hold such office as the President deems fit, and subject to the provisions of this succession may thereupon remove him or her from office. And it lists either for misconduct, two, on account of continued ill health, or three, on account of incapacity to carry out his or her duties of office efficiently, or four, on account thereof that he or she is no longer a fit and proper person to hold the office concerned. And I think this is point four is the one, subsection four is the one that the president used. And D, the removal of the national director or the deputy national director, the reasons therefore, and the representations of the National Director or the Deputy National Director, if any, shall be communicated by message to Parliament within 14 days after such removal, if Parliament is then in session, or if Parliament is not then in session, within 14 days after the commencement of its next ensuing session. I think in terms of that background, in terms of the legislation, I think Honourable Dazowe has already gone into the issue, and the question was also asked to legal around the matter. Our members, we can deliberate on that. We're deliberating on whether the President complied with the requirements of Section 12(6)A and B of the Act, whether he followed all the processes. Honourable Dazowe, Honourable Dazowe.
Yes, hi. Now, Chair, I just want to restate what I said to indicate that where I sit, I'm quite convinced that the President complied with the provisions of Section 12, Subsection 6 of the NPA Act in removing them. Firstly, it's because what the President did was to suspend them based on the fact that he felt that they are not fit and proper to hold that particular office, and all the related processes were complied with. If you remember very well, immediately after the decision was taken, Parliament was accordingly informed. And as you rightly say, we were supposed to have finalized this process within 14 days or so in terms of the stipulations of the Act. But because of the letters and because of the fact that we wanted to afford them more opportunity to listen to them, we did that. And compounding our delay in this respect was the fact that there were court cases and, and interdicts which were there, which is quite understandable. But I'm of the view that we have arrived at this point where, based on the fact that I'm convinced that the president followed the law and he complied with the provisions of Section 12, that we are satisfied that he did so, and therefore we can take a decision. Thank you.
I move, Chair, that the president has taken the correct decision and then we endorse that as a committee.
Okay, I think we're dealing with the procedure followed by the president.
Yes.
I know, Honourable Mteko, all of us want to get ahead of this process, but can I just request we go with it, because it also would indicate that we all of us had an opportunity to apply our minds to some of these guidelines. All right. But I think the submission being made that as a committee we're in agreement that the president complied with the requirements of Section 12, 6 A and B of the Act. Can I then go to the next issue, was whether the process leading up to the president's decision fair to both Advocate Jiva and Mokwebi? Honourable Nita, any other member? Honourable Nita?
Thanks, Chair. In terms of the report itself, it clearly states that there was fairness, Chair, in terms of that, because the whole the setting up of the team for inquiry was there, which was gazetted on the 9th of November. And again, Chair, the person who was appointed to preside over the case itself was a neutral person, which was Justice Yvonne Mkolo. So the whole thing of fairness in terms of taking the person that would be beyond reproach in terms of dealing with issues. And again, the terms of reference were set up very clear for the person who would be dealing with the inquiry itself. And also, accordingly, Chair, both Mkwebi and Jiba were allowed representation so that they are not find themselves had to represent themselves, but there was a person that was representing them. Those are the areas, Chair, that I will touch on in terms of showing the fairness in terms of the process itself. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Omudu. Is there any other member who would want to add or subscribe to the same view or a different view, Honourable Little?
No, I second Honourable Little. I think the process was fair to the to both, you know, the defendant, and I'm satisfied that it's okay. Thank you.
Okay. If then we can go to the third area that I raised, was the president's decision to remove Advocate Mokwebi based on a good reason.
Yes, Honourable Chair, I've carefully looked at the reasons why. And for me, there is no doubt that there was a lot of instability within the MPA, and that there was a lot of meddling. And just based on that, it was important for the president to restore leadership of that important pillar of our constitutional democracy. And the reasons that he advanced in terms of removing them from office, for me, are justifiable, are quite sufficient, are good reasons, and are in the best interest of our country and in the best interest of our criminal justice system. And I think such reasons must be supported so that there is stability and we are able as a country to deal properly and intensely with the issue of crime and corruption. And he needs to be applauded for that. And for that reason, I think there was a good cause for the president to have acted in the way that he did. Thank you.
Any other view on the members? Okay. Is there any other issue besides the three we've considered? Are there any other areas that members feel should also be touched on? You're welcome to raise those. If members are happy, then I think I can close discussion on this matter. So, honourable members, we will allow our team to put together the report on the matter. It will be quite a lengthy process because, we started this sometime in June, if I'm not mistaken. We'll allow the team to put together the report, and then in tomorrow's meeting, we'll then table the report to honourable members. We'll try and make sure that you get it before the close or before tomorrow morning. But as soon as the report is ready, all members will email it to you so that tomorrow when we meet, we can then look into the adoption of that report. Okay. All members, with that, thank you very much. Thank you for your indulgence. And my apologies that we tend to go over lunch. In actual fact, we have to now rush into a plenary. My apologies for that. It looks like we have to push a certain program. Thank you, all members. This meeting is closed.
Yeah.